Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 14. Yudhamide Kauravasanjayanam Dureshyato Viragatim Gateshu Vikodara Gadabhimarsha Padno Radande Dhritarashtra Putre Patu Priyam Dhronir Iti Smatasyam Krishna Sitanam Swapatam Siramsi Upahara Dvipayam Egatasya Jagupsatam Karma Vigarhayanti. Translation: when the respective warriors of both camps, namely the Kauravas and the Pandavas, were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and the dead warriors obtained their deserved destination, and when the son of Dhritarashtra fell down lamenting, his spine broken, being beaten by the club of Bhimasena, the son of Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, beheaded the five sleeping sons of Draupadi and delivered them as a prize to his master, foolishly thinking he would be pleased. The Odin, however, disapproved of this heinous act, and he was not pleased in the least. Purport: transcendental topics of the activities of Lord Sri Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam begin from the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, where Lord Krishna himself spoke about himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, both the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendental topics of Lord Krishna. The Gita is Krishna Katha, or topics of Krishna, because it is spoken by the Lord. And the Bhagavatam is also Krishna Katha, because it is spoken about the Lord. The Gita is spoken by the Lord. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted everyone to be informed of both Krishna Kathas by his order. Lord Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna himself in the garb of devotee of Krishna. And therefore the versions of both Lord Krishna and Sri Krishna Chaitanya are identical. Lord Chaitanya desired that all born in India seriously understand such Krishna Kathas, and after full realization, preach the transcendental message to everyone in all parts of the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity of the stricken world. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Silakara Yakshudan Mulitam Yena Paismai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Papitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadhamayam Nidati Sapadantikam Agadana Sanandante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padamboja Vilisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yudhakti Visham Priyatnai Apayama Manabhipsamandam Kripam Buhriya Paradhuka Duki Sanatanastham Pabhumastriyami Vancha Kaupa Kuru Bhyasya Vipasindhu Bhayedhita Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from Los Angeles. I really was enlivened in the preaching. I haven't actually ever preached in Los Angeles. I'm staying at Raghunath's house in Los Angeles. And very nice program. Raghunath, you know, was a, somehow by by chance or luck, he got some posting as a yoga teacher in Beverly Hills. And then because he's kind of a natural leader, kind of charismatic guy, soon a lot of these people became his own students, private students. And very well-placed people that generally we haven't been able to present Krishna consciousness to so effectively. So with these particular people, he decided he would have a teacher training. But more or less, it's basically, it turns out to be like a bhakti program where people pay $1,500. And what it consists of is every Friday, there's a lecture by a guest. And then from 12:30 to 5:30 on Saturday and Sunday, I guess it's for 10 weeks, Raghunath teaches them so many things. First, Ashtanga Yoga, so, all the different steps, which include, which also include renunciation, et cetera. The first class he gave is on what is the jiva and what is God, and, the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, very Krishna conscious thing. So, somehow it's coordinated, the program is inaugurated by me. So I really didn't know what to expect. So on Friday, he'd have a class in the home of one of his disciples. And I guess there's about 15 people signed up for the class and several others come just for the Friday. So, he drives me there, and it's somewhere in Beverly Hills or something. And you drive into this place, and the people tell you to go to the valet parking. And then the car is parked, and a golf cart picks you up because it's like a resort in the middle of Los Angeles because there's no cars allowed. Cars are parked, and they have this whole system for all the residents, any of the guests. So even the guests, you get picked up in a golf cart, and you feel like you're going to I never went, but it's at like Disney World or something. I know. And you drive to this townhouse. So the program was at the home of one middle-aged lady who's a corporate lawyer. It's a very beautiful townhouse, and the people, and then there's with some snacks beforehand. It's nice because the lecture would go late, and they don't want you to eat like a full meal before it. So they just have snacks, or carrot and hummus and grapes, and some people are there taking some snacks. And then the class begins, and Raghunath had already given them a class on how to respect the Swami. So these people are like so respectful, and it's a sunken living room. It's all marble floors, and it was perfect. He wanted to make sure, he told the people, that the speaker has to sit higher than the people who are listening. So some people are a little older, so they have to sit on couches. So what he arranged is, everything is in the sunken living room, and I'm above it on this chair, so I'm above everyone. It's kind of like a Vyasasad. Most of the people are sitting on the floor. And I gave my, lecture on psychology of karma. I had people's information, so I was within the class able to read something. The astrologer does is a prediction, describing some event in their life and something about their personality. And it was fairly accurate. This one wasn't as perhaps starting as, the predictions of their life were a little bit more subtle than things like, you had problems with your father in 1991. The person, my father died then, But it was still, especially the person, it was pretty accurate. And I felt very comfortable giving a lecture and blaming karma. It went from 7 to 9:30, and then I got to meet the people, because they had the snacks again. It was a very, you know, I just, some of the people, three of the people were lawyers. One was a music attorney. One was a corporate lawyer. One was a publicist or had a public relations firm. They were obviously very, very successful people. One lady was a scientist, you know, who was trying to study the relationship to genetics and cancer. They were very, very, established, and some young people were there who were from very, you know, well-to-do families, but the people were extremely, extremely respectful and very appreciative of the lecture. One interesting thing I know, when I came there, and, you know, I had the birth information, so it wasn't, when everybody was addressed, one person was, one girl was Govinda Leela, one girl was Kalindi, one guy was Arjuna, and I figured out, he didn't initiate them, but Ranganath has, and some of you will know what this term means, he has chutzpah. Means, gall. But anyway, they all had spiritual names, Maharani. So it was, I kind of thought it was good. It showed the influence he had over these people. Although in one level they were much more together than him, in one level. But he's really good at a teacher. He presents Krishna consciousness. He's, you know, he's been working on them for, you know, fixes up their bodies, cleanses people who are overweight, lost weight, and he teaches them all the practical things he learned from Guna Grind Marge and myself. You know, he told them about the sadhu and guru, and he was sitting on the floor, and, you know, he I didn't mind because he had such influence, and then, you know, he introduced me as his mentor, you know, and, you know, basically described how I helped him for about, you know, 20 years. So the people had, like, maximum faith. And I can see by the end, there was, you know, the appreciation people had, and so many people said they really, you know, how long I'm here, they were disappointed I was there for a short time. They wanted to meet me. The lady who ran it, who was this corporate lawyer, you know, and as soon as I got back to Raghunath's place, there was already an email from the lady who organized it, describing how much she appreciated the lecture, that she wished it could have went on longer, and it was very nice to see. And I just saw that, you know, unfortunately I'm not in L.A., but I could see if I was here, you know, going to these people's offices and meeting them, people really, I mean, in a second, if I was here and I said, oh, yeah, we can meet, they would have stayed up all night. Unfortunately, I had to leave by 11:30. But, you know, the questions and the people and the curiosity, many of them asked me that they wanted to go to India. And I'm sure, perhaps, this morning I'll speak to Raghunath, maybe there'll be, I'm sure, already one who's going and says, we have to meet you. So it's very nice to see the, you know, and that's actually how you can introduce people to spiritual life. It's, you know, you're not representing necessarily, and that thing is probably better, you're not representing an institutional religion in their things, but a kind of a rich tradition. It's a neutral setting, and you can just see it. And I was speaking to someone else, and they said, you know, if you can give people structures or tools through your knowledge to help them better understand what their in other words, if you can help people understand better their conception of reality, in other words, through their frame of reference, but in other words, you have to present it in a way what they're already seeing, And by our understanding, because what is our knowledge connected with Srila Prabhupada through a bona fide disciplic succession, we actually have a description of what exists. So we can actually help people to better see and understand what they're already seeing. And if you can do that, if you can present through the mercy of Prabhupada and the knowledge and information he gets and help people, because, you know, people are not in complete illusion. There's, you know, especially people a little bit pious, a little bit more progressive, a little bit more intelligent, a little more disciplined, they're already having some perception of reality. So if by your presentation of Krishna consciousness and the knowledge, understanding, conceptualizing, and able to express our profound understanding of reality in a way that enhances people's present conception of how they see the world. The parts of the world that they do see is true. People see the benefit, for example, of compassion, the benefit. They already see that, you know, they see a certain reality that you know, the highest thing in the world, the highest pleasure is love, relationships between two people. They already see a certain amount, according to a person's spiritual evolution. They already see a certain amount of reality. But we have a higher perception of it. And if we can share our perception of reality in a way that enhances their understanding of what they already see, they will have faith that you have the truth. And they will offer you the highest respect and accolades. So I'm seeing in terms of, you know, sharing Krishna consciousness and obviously Prabhupada, according to our realizations, he did want us to share that. You know, whether you're in the world, whether it's a relative, whether it's a friend, you know, if by your own understanding of reality based on your understanding of Shastra, and then your ability to communicate to people according to their frame of reference and vision, you have to see how are they seeing this, and then present it in a way that enhances their perception of what they see. And that's another reality that people see. If people understand, one thing that people see, that it's always beneficial to understand the truth. So if you give people a higher ability and perception to see the truth, they're seeing, they're understanding things, you can increase that. That's what everyone wants, because they know that that'll improve their lives. So I see in my own service that this is one thing I've tried to develop, to present Krishna consciousness in a way to certain type of people that maybe are a little bit more progressive. But anyone, in other words, if you can increase their, then they accept you as someone who is wise and that's another reality. That people of character ultimately respect are those who have knowledge. Some type of mentor so I really like to do this through explaining karma, because it just makes so much sense to people. Like, for example, you know, a reality that people see is that their life experiences help them grow. Now, if I can explain this in relationship to destiny, in other words, some that their destiny or fate helps them grow, I can give them different meditations and exercises to understand this. But then I can explain to them a deep science about the whole thing. It's already a truth they're experiencing, but I can explain how it works and how one should respond to it. So this is very edifying with me, and I'm very much encouraging, you know, and these people have the money. In a second, if you say, let's have a retreat someplace, I mean, it's a lot of time. People are giving 10 hours every weekend, and they just sit and Raghunath has organized it in a yoga studio that's on somehow right across from the temple on Monsika Avenue. And therefore, part of the fee that he got, he uses towards people getting prasad in the restaurant. So, you know, at the same time that he's careful to present that he's a non-institutional approach. At the same time, he takes any opportunity he can to get, you know, to give them. So I lecture today, Friday, next Friday. Radhanath Swami will come. He asked him to do that. You know, just tell his history of, you know, what is a sadhu in India or something. And down the road, he has Kanamrita, that very nice kirtan singer. So in this way, in a neutral way, he's presenting an environment where people can get faith. Because what I spoke is, you know, my basic presentation of karma. I mean, one of the main points that I'm presenting is what karma is a reaction to selfishness. Fruit of activity is selfishness. And therefore, our destiny is to root us of that selfishness and bring us to our pure state. And what's that? Our pure state is basically pure love or bhakti. So, I'm, you know, if you actually explain karma, even the knowledge is obviously something, it could be, it's like what I spoke in the class, I could speak the same thing and sitting on an asana to devotees. So it wasn't, you know, it's a direct philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So I was kind of very enlivened and encouraging him, and I even thought, and I never thought I would say this, that, hey, you sure, huh? You went to bed so late, you're up early in the morning. I can see you're a real sadhu. Good. Before I went to sleep at 2, that's Raghunath's stepson. He's wearing a Harinam charter. Now he's meditating on a cat. Okay. I could even see spending a little more time in LA. And I also realized one thing. If you look in the presentation of Krishna consciousness in North America, already many of the people asked, is there an ashram that I can stay, et cetera? And you would really be hard pressed to find, you know, a place where, you know, these people could stay overnight in terms of even the facilities, the environment, et cetera. You'd be hard pressed, you know, you'd be very hard pressed to find a place that was suitable for these type of people. You know, so someday down the line, someone in North America will, maybe there's one or two places, I can't say that. You know, create a suitable ashram where people could actually visit. Anyway, now I'm so behind in my studies with this travel, but I'm hopefully just going to finish this chapter today. Boy, it's so nice to talk about Krishna. So, you know, we're in the first canto, and I've somehow got the inspiration. Why don't we go through the first canto? People, actually, the Bhagavatam is the highest presentation of reality. I described from the Bhakti Sandarbha very nicely how Jiva says that the highest thing is to hear about Krishna. The name qualities, forms and pastimes of Krishna, and that's even higher when that is composed, when the pastimes of Krishna are composed by a devotee. And better than when it's composed by a devotee is when it's also spoken by a devotee. Better when the composition is Srimad Bhagavatam. Better than that is when Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken by a qualified devotee. And the best hearing is when you're qualified to hear about the particular pastimes of Krishna, which nourish your particular flavor of love in your relationship with Krishna. That's a very high thing. So, nice to go with the Bhagavatam. And the first canto is a history of the Bhagavatam. Basically, in one sense, the first canto. Well, the second canto begins when it's spoken really by Sutta Goswami to to Shonaka Rishi. He answers their question. That begins in the second canto. But the first canto is a history of the Bhagavatam before that. So we have the history of Vyasadeva, which is very intriguing, you know, because, you know, how did he write the Bhagavatam? That's a very intriguing story. And I don't go now. And that deals with that he was basically inspired by Narada Muni. But he gets this vision of reality, and based on what he sees, he speaks the Bhagavatam. That's why the first verse in the Bhagavatam is so powerful, because it's his realization after his meditation and after being chastised by his teacher for his previous composition, which didn't directly glorify Krishna. And therefore, you know, it's so strong. It's like, because he didn't directly glorify Krishna, that was the point. So in meditation, he wanted to have a deeper realization of Krishna. So in meditation, in the linking process of devotional service, I guess he was meditating on Krishna to get a better realization or hearing about Krishna. He gets this full, clear realization of Krishna. And it's just so clear to him. What is reality, why people are suffering, and what is the solution, which is actually to hear about Krishna, because people are suffering because they're identifying with the external material energy due to a lack of devotion, a lack of, and he gets the whole, anyway, it's beautiful. So, the first verse is after that chastisement and after that realization, he just comes on extremely direct. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya janmad yasya yaton vayad itaritas chartesti vidyat salat tene brahmahitaya adhikavaye muyanti yatsuriha. Boom, Krishna's God, and this is why, accept it. I qualify. Very powerful and strong. Very difficult to present the absolute reality directly because it's the biggest challenge to your false ego. The false ego is, I am the controller and enjoyer. And when you see reality and realize reality, you realize that that's an illusion. And you realize that that position is fully and overwhelmingly taken. And that's what the first verse says. It's very heavy. This position is and most people don't want to hear that, and therefore the scriptures are not often not presented directly. So presented directly. Jadmad, Yasya, Yaton, Dayat, Krishna is Om Namo Bhagavate Va, Krishna, the son of Vasudev is God. And why Jadmad, Yasya, Yaton, Dayat? From him, everything else comes. He is conscious. He's omniscient. So he's fully independent. If the Tase, directly and indirectly in control. Tene Brahma Hadayadika, the original poet, Brahma became inspired in him. Boom. You should meditate on Krishna. Dimahi. Meditate, boom, powerful. So we get the story of Vyasadeva, then we get the story of Sukadeva Goswami. So Vyasadeva is this incredible editor, intellect, writes the Vedas. Sukadeva Goswami is already a Atmaram, transcendentalist, wants nothing to do with this world, and Maharaj Prickett's a king. So the solution for all these people is the Bhagavatam in there. So the Bhagavatam is telling me the story about these people. And every one of them, their story reveals the Bhagavatam, because every one of them at different stages of spirit, you know, Maharaj Prickett, I guess, not the materialist, but in one sense the king, the form of materialism. You got Sukadeva Goswami, the form of transcendence. You got Vyasadeva, the form of learning. The learned, the renounced, and the materially prosperous, they all achieve perfection by the same process, and that's hearing directly about Krishna or God. They all receive it by that same process. They hear directly about God. The devotion, therefore, comes from their heart, and they all achieve perfection. Vyasadeva sees reality and writes about reality and is joyful. Sukadeva Goswami becomes attracted to the Bhagavatam even though he has no attachment to this world, showing the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes. And now we're up to the story of Maharaj Prickett. Up to the story about Maharaj Prickett. And his story is so intriguing. So what happens is, therefore, as we described today, where does the Bhagavatam, you know, the story of Maharaj Prickett is the story of the Bhagavatam. Why? Because when he is cursed to die in 7 days, and therefore he's really becomes more intensely concerned about his duty, just as us, when we get the gray hairs and the arthritis and the knees and the bad liver, if we're intelligent, we understand more the temporality of this world. We become more serious, like, what is this about? What should I do? What is the duty of a man who's about to die? Which, of course, that's every man. But death, somehow or other, death is God helping us to become self-realized, because death is removing the false ego. If you really want to understand that you're not the controller and not the enjoyer, then feel death. Feel death. Feel our temporality. Feel our I just want to read something here. It just takes me a second, I think. The temporality of this world. Just understand the temporality of this world. The temporality of this world. This is a quote. There's one thing to forget and two things to remember. Forget what you have done for others. Remember what others have done for you. And remember death. So it's Maharaj Prickett. So he's cursed to die. And it's very interesting. So why is that related to the Bhagavatam? Because when he asked that question, all the sages come, and Sukadeva Goswami, who embodies the knowledge of the Bhagavatam, is going to enlighten him with the Bhagavatam. And that's what's the third recitation of the Bhagavatam. And it's also the Bhagavatam manifest in his death from Sukadeva Goswami. So that's also about the Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam manifested at the beginning of Kali Yuga. Anyway, the timing is right. Now, the Bhagavatam begins, the story begins at the end of Kurukshetra. So the Bhagavatam begins at the end of Kurukshetra. Why? Because this is a very interesting point. End of Kurukshetra, what the Bhagavad Gita is spoken. And what's the last thing that's said in the Bhagavad Gita, basically? Sarva dharmam prityaja. Sarva dharmam prityaja. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Moksha yasyami mahasucha. Just surrender to me. Don't worry. I will protect you. Don't worry. So the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita is to surrender to Krishna. And that's the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam doesn't talk so much about jnana. It talks about, you know, you're not the body. The Bhagavatam begins with one's relationship to God. So it's very interesting that when we talk about the history of the Bhagavatam, both philosophically and historically, in Kali Yuga, it begins at the end of Kurukshetra. Historically and philosophically. Why philosophically? Because the end of Kurukshetra, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken, surrender to Krishna, and the next, like Prabhupada said, the Bhagavatam is college degree, the Bhagavatam is the postgraduate or something, and CC is even higher. So, very interesting connection. Historically and philosophically, the Bhagavatam begins at the end of Kurukshetra. Why? What's at the end of Kurukshetra? The history is described that Ashwatthama is seeing that everyone is died and killed. His father, Dronacharya, is killed, and so many people. Because he's Brahma Bandhu, he takes revenge and kills the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. And this is very almost interesting, because how does really Kali Yuga start? When people abuse their position. When you kind of have power and position, but you don't have the culture. That's the worst thing. One thing, if you don't have culture, I can't even pronounce the word properly, but anyway, it's one thing when you don't have culture. But if you're not cultured and you're in a position of authority, then it wreaks disaster. It wreaks disaster. And that's how Kali Yuga begins. Because socially, the Brahmins have power, but when the Brahmins don't have the qualification, it ruins society. So this person, out of revenge, releases the Brahmastra weapon that can destroy the world, and you're not supposed to release a weapon or an activity unless you have the power to counteract it. Let's say you want to chastise someone, and you don't do it unless you have self-control and you can stop. That's culture. Don't start something you can't finish. That's culture. So he released it, but he didn't have, that's not culture. That's not culture. You have to be able to complete what you do. But you just have the position, but not the culture, so you're there. So Arjuna naturally, Draupadi, his wife, five sons are killed. He wants to capture Ashwatthama, and that's when Ashwatthama, in maturity, he releases this weapon, and then Arjuna surrenders to Krishna. This is the entrance into the Bhagavatam, Charanagata. Very interesting concept that you recognize that we're not independent of God and therefore take shelter of Him. You see, people, that's our position. And unless you're in line with your position, there's no real empowerment. So when you're in line, we are connected to God and we're meant to function in that way. Now, no matter what we do, we're dependent on God because we're part of Him and we're connected to Him. When you're independent, it just means that you don't directly recognize that. You try to become independent of God, but you're still dependent on Him. Who can say they're not dependent on God? You're still dependent on Him. The only thing is you become in the illusion that I'm independent. And you're not directly surrendering to Him, so you lose your empowerment. You lose your nourishment. You lose your inner... It's just our kind. This is the way it is. It's not like we're surrendering to anything external. We're just recognizing who we are. Surrender is just realization. I am connected to God, and I'm going to offer gratitude in my heart. And I'm going to act as dependent on God, and I'm going to express that. And actually, in fact, my function is to express that, because that's God's joy, his relationship with us. And that's also our joy. So surrender, giving up independence, is not an artificial thing. It's an honest choice, just recognizing reality, recognizing where we stand. So he does that. And then they capture Ashwatthama. It's very interesting because and then we see, it's very interesting, you know, Krishna tests him. He says, let's kill this person. And we see how he always tests his devotee. And I think, and finally, they all decide, except Bhishma, that, you know, and if, you know, he has to be respected because of his, you know, it's a culture. He's the son of the guru. He's the son of the teacher. So he can't be killed, but he has to be killed. And then they resolve to humiliate him. And dishonor is worse than death. But it kind of does both things. This is, anyway, but the first amazing point, that Krishna's first words in the Bhagavatam are not philosophical. They're practical. He discusses, I'm going to look this up, but it's just going to take me a second, you know, Yeah, the first thing he says is practical. O Arjuna, only another Brahmastra can counteract this weapon, so you're expert in military science. Subdue this weapon, Blair, with the power of your own weapon. So it's interesting. What is his first thing? It's why? He's saving his friend and devotee. First thing Krishna does in Bhagavad Gita is love his devotee. And that's what, in the Bhagavatam, and that's what the Bhagavatam's about. It's about God as a person, and a person reciprocates in relationship. And when you separate relationship, you serve the other. Krishna loves his devotees. We have a relationship with them. Therefore, I made this point. I never see it written, but first time we see him in the two main scriptures, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. First time. Before this philosophy about Krishna. The first time we see Krishna, he is riding the chariot of Arjuna. He's driving the chariot. He's the driver. He's the servant of his devotee. The first thing he does is give him practical instruction to help him. The first thing in the Bhagavatam is not even Krishna's words. We see his actions. His actions. That he's serving his devotee. And that's the essence of the Bhagavatam, that God is actually a person. He's very attractive because he's loving. A person is not attractive if he's a mean SOB. No matter how powerful he is. No matter how humble you are, if you are a loving person, you are attractive. And that goes for God. He's so attractive because he reciprocates in love. And it's so starking here. I don't know if that's the right word, but anyway. The biggest person in the world, the first time you see him, what is he doing? He's serving his devotee. I tell about my friend was a disciple of this huge scholar in Vrindavan with 9 PhDs. The first time he went to see his guru, he was startled. What was his guru doing? He was sweeping the floor. So he was so impressed, because what does that mean? He's serving. He's a loving person. Not that the first time he saw his guru that he was sitting so high and like that, but he saw he was serving. It's so attractive. I remember, you know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, one told me this story, he had some appendicitis or something, and, you know, Prabhupada was on his morning walk, and Prabhupada geared the morning walk to his room to check on his health. Boy, isn't that attractive when we hear about Prabhupada doing that? Prabhupada is the, you know, the world acharya, and he's checking on how his servant is doing. How attractive. He's a person. That's the first time we see Krishna. So this sets up the Bhagavatam, which is, and we're going to see it throughout the rest of the Bhagavatam. I think it's going to be very sweet. Because what we're going to see is what the Bhagavatam is. It's going to lend to very nice things because it works up historically. You get a mini Mahabharata. It works up to the till Maharaj Prickett gets cursed at the end of it. But until that time, we follow Krishna. Because when will the Bhagavatam be spoken? It's after Krishna left the planet. So at the end of Kurukshetra, we follow the last years of Krishna. Because Maharaj Prickett doesn't get cursed until Krishna leaves the planet. Because that curse of Maharaj Prickett brings the return of Krishna in the form of the Bhagavatam. So the end of the Bhagavatam, we'll see Krishna. He's leaving Kurukshetra and Kunti comes. We see, you know, we'll see Kunti's prayers. Then we'll see him entering, leaving Dwarka with the sentiments of the devotees in Dwarka, entering, leaving Hastinapur. Then he enters Dwarka. We'll see the sentiments. Now I'm getting very excited. I'm looking forward to this because it's a wonderful exchange between Krishna and his devotees. And that's what Bhagavatam is. And that's what Vyasa did. He presented that absolute reality. And what is the absolute reality doing? He's exchanging with his energy. Especially his internal potency, which means the loving potency, which is put in the heart of the devotees. And this is what really bhakti means. What bhakti means is when you surrender, then what the surrender aligns you for Krishna to work through you to give him pleasure by infusing within your heart the loving potency. And this is what Prabhupada taught. This is why Prabhupada stressed Sharanagati. He stressed Sharanagati because we're lining ourselves up to experience love. Without that Sharanagati, it's all a farce. You can meditate all you want, you know, on so many esoteric things, which is an inspiration for our devotion, and I'm definitely not denying, the practice of devotional service. But the foundation for the realization, to appreciate that and infuse our bhakti further and further, is that surrender, and that's what Prabhupada taught. Surrender to him, surrender to his representatives, surrender to his mission of sharing our realizations with others in Krishna consciousness. Okay, I'm going to end from now. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bol, Nanda Dula. It was so nice to be with your son.
Oh, thank you, Maharaj, and thank you for...
It was only a few. It was very nice because it was only people very intimate with me. We didn't make a big program. I just wanted to meet the people, and somehow or other, you wrote me, but Abhijit had already found out and called Raghunath, so I knew he was coming, and he towers over me now. You know, he's Bengali. Bengali's usually small. I mean, he's over 6 foot, you know. So it was nice to see him, and, you know, he brought his madanga, you know, and he's so comfortable relating with all sorts of people, you know.
Thank you. And
you know, he always remembers, even when I was there, he remembers, you know, me coming over and giving classes, and, you know. We're reminiscing of that. He asked me to please visit my parents, so he hasn't forgotten you. And, you know, one other thing that's really nice, yeah, And I asked them, yeah, you must love Los Angeles, right? Because you know how you're up in the Poconos, right? The weather is so miserable, right? And he said to me, he said, actually speaking, he said, the grass is always greener, you know, in one place or another. He said, why I like it here, is because I'm only 5 minutes from the temple. And he said, whenever I feel bored or something, you know, because I guess he's working here now during the summer. So whenever he said, whenever I feel bored, I just go to the temple. You know, I go to the temple with mini Dwarsh, you know what I'm saying? So to him, L.A., you know, when you think about the Poconos and you think about the weather here, you know, that he could care less about that in one sense. It's just that you're 1 hour there from the nearest temple, you know, and here he goes to the temple. So very nice that that you trained your sons and that you and Savitri trained them that they're devotees. You know, that's their life.
I have questions, but because you are tired, I'll send it by email.
No, you can ask me a question. I'm not tired, actually.
No, you just told that at 2 o'clock, you know, and it's for 6 o'clock, you know?
Yeah, I just realized that I only actually need 3 hours sleep. And the other three now is just ignorance. I realize that. I'm fully awake now.
Maharaj, it's in a little different way. When Brother Vyash has the written form, now, I know that Shukadeva Goswami is speaking Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, but when was it written from Vyashada? Because Vyashada was also present. You mentioned in a few classes before when Shukadeva Goswami was speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj.
Yeah.
So when was
right.
it in a written form written?
When was it written form?
Yeah, because it seems in a Shukadeva Goswami is speaking, Vyashadeva has spoken to his son. So was it written before even this thing happened, or just after the passing of?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure the compilation of the Bhagavatam means that it has to be written, because things were carried in oral tradition. So we can say it was composed, but the composition. Composition can be composed in the mind. The composition can be translated in speech. The composition can be stored. So when it's written is really not important.
Okay.
The fact is that it's composed.
Okay.
And I don't know at a particular time when people become a little bit slower, they need to write it down, and then it can be written down. But maybe there may be a story also when it's spoken, so initially it had to be Vyas. It wasn't Ganesh described. Maybe Vyas was speaking it and Ganesh was described, like for the Bhagavad Gita. So it could be Ganesh that, you know, he started speaking it, and rather than a dictaphone, he just spoke it and there was a writer, Ganesh.
Yes.
I'm not really so conversant with, like, you know, the young kids know more Mahabharata and Ramayana than me. I'm just a dry philosopher. Okay, thank you, Nandadula.
Thank you, Maharaj, for answering my question.
Yeah, I'm looking at my calendar and seeing if somehow or other it's so packed I can get a day there or night before Mana leaves. I'm going to see if I can do that today. Okay. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else like to? Okay. Thank you. Anybody else like to ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my obeisances and
apologies
to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you. Who's this?
This is Param Ishwar.
I recognize your voice. Yes. Hare Krishna.
A couple of Sundays ago, you were talking about faith.
Yes.
And I was really meditating on what you were saying. Namely, you were saying that you maintain and increase your faith through hearing and practice and inspiration.
Yes.
So I'm in a situation where I really have to inspire myself. So I find this class on Sunday, inspirational, and I find the class, the Bhakti Sastri class, Bodhika Chakra, inspirational. So I would just like for you to speak maybe a little bit about self-inspiration or having to inspire oneself.
Well, it's not really inspiring oneself. It's getting the sadhu sangha, and that's, in other words, that's why we have the class, you know, to provide that inspiration. And actually, in today's world, you know, with the computer and different things, if used properly, there's so many. You can have access to so you can download any class, and a lot of people right now, they're even preferring in this world where you maybe have to travel to a temple and go through traffic and find parking, and maybe you don't know the speaker, et cetera, which, I mean, I'm not saying that it's wonderful to go to the temple. I'm not denying that. But the most important thing is hearing. And self-inspiration means to maximize your hearing and, you know, very frankly, to get attraction to hearing, we also serve. So if we can see some circumstance by which we can serve, that will also increase our hearing. In terms of self-inspiration, it's more like the inspiration comes externally and it has to be self-determination. But that hearing develops the faith and the conviction. And you know, with, you know, faith gives life. Without faith, we can't move, isn't it? We can't move any place without faith. Unless you know, have faith in what you're doing, you don't move. So we don't move in devotional service unless we have faith. The faith comes from hearing. And hopefully, because you are taking a Chakra's class, and it's a systematic study of Bhagavad Gita, and I'm giving the Bhagavatam and trying to give another angle on the philosophy, hopefully, by hearing that regularly, my confidence is that there will be inspiration and there will be determination. And then, okay, how to execute it. You know, different people have family responsibilities, job responsibilities. You know, the modern world is kind of disempowering to spiritual life, and that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Well, then maybe there's retreats. You know, they're taking advantage of, you know, sometimes, if, you know, there's retreats, there's festivals, there's pilgrimages, and ultimately there's prayer. And if sometimes we don't feel we're getting the full capacity to serve to our heart's content or get the association of devotees, then we can understand that somehow karmically that's only meant to increase our desire for those things. And ultimately, the desire will bear fruit. Ultimately, the desire will bear fruit. That's
well,
a fact.
My situation, without going into a lot of detail about it, is that, you know, I'm at the temple. I live at the temple. I do full-time service at the temple. So,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it is wonderful. But, you know, there's something lacking. So,
in yourself or the environment?
I'm in the environment, and I'm sure there's probably something lacking in myself also.
Yeah, right.
But,
So
that's, you know, a challenge, a daily challenge, actually.
Yeah.
So, and that's something that maybe I'd rather talk to you, not on the phone.
If you send me an email, I don't. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and then I could go into a little bit more detail.
Okay,
about it.
I don't mind. I don't mind talking, but I can just say basically, a lot of times, some of the main inspiration is the deities.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
oh, definitely.
So I'm just saying every place has a strength and a weakness, and anyway, we can talk about
and
that.
And I would
more.
Say yes, my main inspiration does come from the deities.
Yeah, I can assume that.
Yeah.
we do wish that there'd be, you know, well, I always felt that for Prabhupada's movement to spread, you know, that there has to be some concentration on taking people who are inclined, people like Ek Chakra, you know,
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, giving them facility, to learn the philosophy, which I hope people like him, you know, they did. They studied, and now they're able to present it. And that's why we're presenting these sanghas, but really that's what the temple should be.
Right.
For the inspiration, the temple should be engaging people. And you know, and it seems, you know, by various circumstances, not always are the temples facilitating and servicing the people in that regard. Generally, they do a good job of the deities, and which is wonderful. But then, if they're not providing that, then you have to get it from other sources.
Well, you know, the focus is mainly on service to the deities, which I understand, but you need everything, you know.
Right. Well, I'm saying when I'm saying you find other means for that, it means things like these classes, which
right.
is pretty simple. You know, they're actually. Right, I have Wednesday night, I have Sunday, and HF has Saturday. So that's already 3 out of the 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, downloading classes and things like that. And hopefully, occasionally, some sadhus visit. But, yeah, I mean, somehow or other, that's very sad. If the temple should have the devotees who can, you know, present the philosophy in a way that people do feel nourished. But, okay, thank you, Parmeshwar.
Thank you, Mark. Okay,
anybody has another question? Maybe you... Yeah. Well, okay, I'll ask. Is there any other question?
Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Okay, Govardhan. Yeah.
How does one surrender? Surrender to trust that Krishna will provide.
I mean, surrender is faith. And how does one get faith? One gets faith by hearing and by associating with people who are surrendered. So the faith comes from hearing, but also the material world. When you become frustrated, you know, when you're seeking, what happens is you're always looking for shelter. So you take, you know, not you, but I'm saying people take shelter in, sex life and drugs and material ambition, you know, in family life, you know, and they're not real shelters because they're not God. You know what I'm saying? They're temporary manifestations of the modes of material nature. So you never really get that shelter. And after being frustrated, then you take shelter of Krishna. So the material world itself, in an honest assessment of the material world, is pushing one towards sharanagata or surrender. It's pushing one towards surrender. The story of Kamsa is there, that the 6 sons of Kamsa were killed. The 6 sons of Kamsa were killed. Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, very nice. Look at my class. Very beautiful backyard. You know, it's just perfect for, it's got a beautiful little garden area, and under this tree it has this lotus light and this asana. And then what do they call these torches? What? Tiki torches. So at night it can be lit up. I mean, I think 200 devotees could sit easy here. Yeah. Ramaswamy spoke here Wednesday. I just had a small intimate thing I wanted with friends. So it's a nice atmosphere here. What? Okay, thank you. And, so the 6 sons were killed, and they were actually demons in a previous life, taking birth in Devaki's womb to be killed by their own father, who was Kamsa, when the previous life was Kalanami and was cursed. But they represent, Kamsa represents material fear, and they represent lust, anger, greed, illusion, something. There's 6 material whips, is probably, they beat you. So when you become fearful of your greed, when you become fearful of your lust, when you become fearful, then the material fear, the duality of the material world wears us down, and we have to find the real shelter, and we have to find the real shelter. So that's basically how the shelter starts. That's basically how the shelter starts. But if you want to increase your faith in that shelter, the inspiration is by taking shelter, you get more faith, and that's what it means. And then there are symptoms of that, you know, that you, the symptoms that you really are taking shelter in Krishna is that you do what's favorable for that relationship with Krishna. You give up what's unfavorable. You have full confidence that what Krishna does is best. You're happy in the humble position, which is the one of taking shelter. And you give up the false ego, the sense of independence. Those are the symptoms. But the inspiration comes from chanting and hearing. Gordon Govardhan, does that help you there?
It helps me.
Okay, I still have to go over to your house before the summer ends and meet your father, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Just to give people in, Gordon's father, I believe he was the president of the first presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. When he ran for president, he got 230 votes. And his father was also an associate, you know, at the very beginning. His father's in his 80s, of Ron L. Hubbard, the founder of Scientology and, you know, Warner Urquhart and things like, some different things like that. His father, because they're up in that Poughkeepsie area, his father was an early engineer for IBM and things like that. Okay, anybody like to say Hare Krishna before we go? It gives me a good sense, it helps me. I see who's out here. Hare Bo?
Hare Krishna, Jadwita Swami here.
Maharaj, Hare Bo. Jai.
Dandavad.
Jai. Good. I'll see you, I guess, in New Jersey later. Hare Bol. Thank you, Marge.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Oh, Kishore. Raghunath's stepson says Hare Krishna to everyone. It's Raghunath's son. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Who else like to say Hare Krishna? It kind of helps me understand the audience. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Bo. Bhakti and Stella?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. When is Carl coming back?
On Wednesday.
Okay.
He was going to say hi. He was going to listen to Sangha today from Vrindavan, but he didn't have the other phone number.
Oh, okay.
So, but
okay,
today.
Okay. Great. Okay. Well, he can get it on the podcast, but he's having a nice time, I hope, there.
He's having a blissful time. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you.
Cool.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Who's that? Who's that?
It's Everest.
Oh, hey, Everest. Thank you, Everest. Hey, Raghunath, you want to say Hare Krishna? No, Everest said Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you, Everest. Hare Krishna, Everest. I have to come over again.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Everest. Thank you. Thank you, Everest. I'm glad you're one of our faithful listeners on the Sangha. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. He's only, I think, 3 or 4, so he listens every week.
It's exciting for me. I've never heard the Sangha live.
Yeah. Hare Krishna? Okay, we'll end that. once you do this, you have to 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 do